From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, Be in Time, part of this series of studies in the Book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Drawing Near to God. The text is James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The nearer we come to God, the more graciously will He reveal Himself to us. When the prodigal comes to his father runs to meet him. When the wandering dove returns to the ark, Noah puts out his hand to pull her in unto him. When the tender wife seeks her husband's society, he comes to her on wings of love. Come then, dear friend, let us draw nigh to God who so graciously awaits us, yea, comes to meet us. Did you ever notice that passage in Isaiah 58, verse 9? There the Lord seems to put himself at the disposal of his people, saying to them, Here I am, as much as to say, What have you to say to me? What can I do for you? I am waiting to bless you. How can we hesitate to draw near? God is nigh to forgive, to bless, to comfort, to help, to quicken, to deliver. Let it be the main point with us to get near to God. This done, all is done. If we draw near to others, they may before long grow weary of us and leave us. But if we seek the Lord alone, no change will come over his mind, but he will continue to come nearer and yet nearer to us by fuller and more joyful fellowship.
His love and her controlling
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the opening verse of chapter 13 of the book of Joshua, where the Lord declares that Joshua was old and stricken in years, yet there remained very much land to be possessed. Joshua had been chosen by God to succeed Moses as the leader of the children of Israel in the task of conquering the land of Canaan. He had been faithful in carrying out this task, but now his life was coming to an end. In making a spiritual application of this passage, Dr. Cairns will emphasize the necessity for every Christian to make the best use of the time God gives him, for life is short and death is certain. The old motto is true, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will warn the unsaved that their time to be saved is running out. They need to flee to Christ for salvation. May the Lord use this soul-searching message to speak to hearts. Now to begin this message called Be in Time, here is Dr. Cairns.
I want to return this morning to the first verse of Joshua chapter 13. Those who were here last week will know that using verse 1 of Joshua 13 and indeed the words of verse 6 as well, I preached a very theological, very doctrinal message, one that I think is very vital for us to understand, that when the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished redemption, He also applied it. And I preached last Lord's Day on redemption accomplished and applied. I think that it is fitting that I come back to this text to preach a very different kind of message. A very simple, straightforward, evangelistic application of this text to our hearts. Let us read it together this morning, Joshua 13 and verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua had no time to waste. At this period in his life, he was just over 100 years old. And he still had a very significant work to accomplish, a work which I think it fair to say only he could do satisfactorily. But it was obvious to everyone, himself included, that even in those days of relative longevity, Joshua's days were numbered. His life was nearly over. Whatever else he was going to do in his lifetime had to be done very, very quickly. I think the lesson to Joshua of this text of Scripture is very easily and, indeed I would say, perfectly summarized in the words of King Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, Solomon wrote, Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Matthew Henry grasped the plainest application of Joshua 13 verse 1 in his own unique way. If you're not a reader of Matthew Henry's commentary, I would give to every Christian and especially to everybody who ever intends to teach or preach, I would give the advice that C.H. Spurgeon gave to his ministerial students. If you have to sell your coat to buy Matthew Henry, sell your coat. Because you will find very often great truth summarized in plain, simple, yet very sublime terms. Unforgettable terms. Henry summed up the teaching of our text this morning like this. All people, but especially the aged, should set themselves to do that quickly, which must be done before they die, lest death prevent them. All people, but especially the aged, should set themselves to do that quickly, which must be done before they die, lest death prevent them. Today I want us to think in this truth, which the Lord clearly set before Joshua, and I trust will just as clearly set before us. For we can learn from it that we all have things to do that we will never do, unless we do them very soon. You have things to do that will never be done unless you do them very soon. The message of the text is the message, therefore, of the hymn that we were singing together just now. Be in time. Can I remark, first and foremost, the obvious thing that time is short. It was short for Joshua. Of course, you may argue, well, he was already an old man. One may expect that his time would be short. And that's very true. But it's equally true that time is short for men and women and young people of every age group, in every place, at every time. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, This I say, brethren, the time is short. That means that every one of us, and I'm speaking now to teenagers and to those who haven't even yet reached their teens. Just heard this morning of a little infant fighting for life. In my ministry, I have attended at the graveside of every age group. I have gone with parents as they have carried a little white coffin, yea long. And I have gone to the same graveside with the old man in his 100th year. As we think of these things, that the time is short, we should all face the question that Barzillai asked in the presence of David many years ago. He said, "How long have I to live?" In his case, he meant to convey very clearly, "David, I do not have very long to live." But that question is one that every man, woman, young person and child in this meeting this morning should seriously ask. How long have I to live? While we may not be able to give a definitive answer as to days and hours and minutes, yet from the Word of God we can derive a very clear reply. Job's 7th chapter tells us that our life passes with the speed of a weaver's shuttle. David said that the span of our life is just like a handbreadth. Peter quotes the psalmist as telling us that life is like grass that flourishes today and it's gone tomorrow. And again, we are assured in Scripture that our life is just like a shadow. James sums it all up and he asks the question, "What is your life?" "It is even as a vapor. It appeareth for a little season. Then it vanisheth away." We have all stood out on a chilly day and seen our breath become a vapor before our eyes and then quickly disappear. James says, "What is your life? Every time you see your breath become a vapor and then in a second or two disappear, hear a sermon from heaven. That is your life." What is the answer then to Barzillai's question, "How long have I to live?" For most of us, the answer very plainly is not as long as you think. Time is short. That leads me to remark that some people are in the last stages of life, but have left undone and unattended very many necessary things. I think first of all of the greatest necessity for any soul, and that is to be right with God. In a different context, but with an undying message, the Lord spoke through Amos the prophet, and he said, "Prepare to meet thy God." The great business of life is eternity. The great concern of this world is the next world. The greatest matter that can take the attention of any man or any woman is, how is it with my soul? Where do I stand with God? Am I saved or lost? Am I heaven bound or hurtling toward the outer darkness of a lost eternity? Are my sins washed away? Or are they yet unremitted to stand against me as witnesses for the prosecution in the day of judgment? How is it with my soul? The greatest and most urgent thing that I can press upon any man, any woman, or any young person is to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near, to tell them that there is mercy with God, there is salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ has for sin atonement made, and he presents that finished work to God who is satisfied, and in good faith he offers it to men who may have it if they will. The only man who hears the gospel and goes away unconverted is the man who will not have it. Jesus looked with sadness on the Jews of his day, and he said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." What a lamentation! Ye will not come. Your will is so rotten and depraved, corrupted, selfish, worldly, and sinful that you will not come to me. The person who will not come to Christ will be lost. But the person who will have Christ has the command of Scripture to come and take him. And he'll not turn you away. We must be saved. The only alternative to being saved is to be lost. The only alternative to heaven is hell. The only alternative to receiving Christ is to be rejected by Christ now and forever. Yet there are people all across this nation. There are people in this very meeting. You've grown up with the knowledge of the gospel. You've heard its gracious invitation. Again and again and again, you've been brought face to face with, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" Your time is short. You have left undone the greatest matter in your life. You've left neglected the most important consideration. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? You see what it is to stand before God? "Yes, I heard the gospel. Yes, I had people plead with me to come to Christ. Yes, there were times when my conscience was stirred and my heart was moved. Yes, there are times when I was on the verge of seeking for grace. But I loved my sin. I loved my sinful companions. I feared the wrath of men, or whatever reason. Here I stand before God, having neglected to come to Christ." My friend, I tell you today, it is a tragedy beyond anything else in the world to have the gospel presented, to see your time run out while you are still neglecting.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge. simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.